Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Welcome to the program, Steve, and it looks like our governor is going to run for a second term.
Well, I think she got off to a little rougher start than what she thought. First of all, the protesters showed up at her event and distracted her enough that the Santa Fe New Mexicans said she cut her speech short in her response. It was amazing. And I want to play that clip for our listeners, but she refers to all the people who showed up to express their opinions about her service. She calls them lizards. So listen as she makes those comments in her press conference.
I'm sorry that we picked the same location that the QAnon lizard people meeting was at.
And Steve, I would say that I disagree with the governor about that comment, but I would fight for her right to have the free speech to say it. We have free speech in this country.
Absolutely. And I would support the position that you're talking about, but it's them who are making everything so politically correct. If you're on our side, you can't say anything. You can't be conservative. And yet her skin is a little bit thin, I think. Yeah. Chris Ramirez did a piece on KOB recently, and he was pointing out that during that press conference to announce that she's running for governor, she took no questions. And in fact, he goes on to point out that they tried to go to another one of her events on May 24th, no questions. May 22nd, no questions. May 20th, no questions. And so this governor is showing for all of the strength the Democrats have and the advantage they have in registration, she's showing an unwillingness to really be held accountable by even her own voters. So someone sent me a screenshot today of when she announced in Taos. She went there after the announcement in Albuquerque. And in Taos, the people were just ripping the social media saying, you're not our governor. You can go on it and read it. But it was very unflattering to the governor. Then she canceled her event in Espanola, saying that, well, it just wasn't safe for her to be out right now. Espanola, that's the stronghold for Democrats. That's Rio Riba County. How can you not be safe in your strongest area? We had one caller who was taking a look at the point where she's doing the press conference and calling the people QAnon lizards. The flags are evidently organized wrong on the stage. They're pointed the wrong direction, or they're organized backwards. And then someone else pointed out that there's a gentleman just to her left. He does not have a mask. Everybody else is wearing the standard Democrat mask. Then all of a sudden in one clip, it's like he's got the mask. He doesn't have a mask. And on the next clip, he's got the mask on.
So it's obviously been edited. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It sounds like maybe we should have done a little bit better job here clipping who's in the scene and who's not and who's going to wear masks and who's not. But all in all, just a rough, rocky start for the governor.
Well, let's talk about the last 4 years of her administration, because when she won election, I remember her standing on the stage saying, we're no longer going to be number 50. We're going to be number one. Well, how's that worked out in the last 4 years?
Yeah, we're still at the bottom in education. We're worst in the nation, or second or third worst in the nation on unemployment. We're worst in crime, sometimes violent crime. So this governor has not put us to the top of any of the lists that we'd want to be the top of. Now we are at the top of some of the other lists that we don't want to be the top of. Our point in our press release from the party was that voters need to ask, has she earned another term? What is your feeling? How has New Mexico fared under this governor? That's the question for re-election for any elected official, but especially a governor. So we hope that people take a look at that and that they analyze carefully, because the scandals are just ongoing, but then the incompetency is even worse. The incompetency that unemployment benefits were paid out. One report said $250 million more than was supposed to be paid out. Another one said $100 million. Either number is huge for a state like New Mexico. And so that's a problem. Then this idea that they're going to do a lottery to try to get you to take your shots. It's just, if the shots are that important, it seems like people would be lining up to get them. And so it seemed like that a little bit of a bribe or something. There are people asking, can New Mexico legally do it since our Constitution has an anti-donation clause? You're going to be donating to people in the idea or the scheme that if they'll get the shot, they have a chance to win the lottery. A lot of the Democrat states seem to be implementing things like this, but when you actually see it firsthand, you just shake your head and wonder about the policies that are coming out of our government leaders.
And you wonder if illegal aliens also qualify for that lottery.
You have to wonder, how would we not? If they've got driver's licenses, then they probably would qualify.
Let's say I'm sitting here listening to Inside New Mexico right now, and I get up, I go to work every day. I don't really pay too much attention to politics. I get a paycheck. The lights come on at night. The water comes out of the faucet. So how has what this governor's done over the last 4 years affected me?
I think the first thing is just the economy and the jobs. The education is right there at the top of the list. Should you be concerned about the unions running the schools? Should you be concerned about your kids being out of school for almost a full year, and how are they going to make that up? What about the underperformance of the public schools? That's a question. But the availability of jobs, when our small businesses going to be able to open up all the way? The big box stores, they can always open. Even from day one, they've been able to open and get all the business. But New Mexico, most of our jobs come from small businesses. So when the governor is doing things that benefit big businesses, out-of-state corporations, then she may be feathering her own nest with relationships with those out-of-state companies. But it is killing the future of New Mexico, because the big companies only go where there are high rates of return. You go down to Grants, if you go to Silver City, to Jowl, there's not any rate of return. The big box stores are not there, and so they depend on small business, but they couldn't open, and so it was driving the customers from our small businesses over to the big box stores, even if they had to drive a couple of hours to find one. So those are all questions. Are your liberties better today, or were they better off 3 or 4 years ago? That's the question. So I think that there are many ways to evaluate the governor. Any one of those would work.
Well, I think you nailed it when I said, how does it affect me? I think you nailed it in that we were locked down. That affects everyone. And even if you didn't own a business that was closed, you may have patronized that business, and now it's gone. And I think that's where people are being affected in all walks of life. We are one of the states that's still partially locked down, aren't we?
Yeah, we're one of the states that has the most lockdown mentality still in place. I was looking at a map of the U.S. a couple of days ago, and it showed the relative state of lockdown in New Mexico and one other state, or maybe Oregon or one of those northwest U.S. states. And we're all alone in the severity of the restrictions that are imposed on us still. And the governor seems to be understanding that, because something is causing her just to kind of flagrantly flip and move to a different direction. I don't know if she's looking at poll numbers, but I think that we've got a lot of things that people are going to look at when it comes time to vote for governor.
Seems like she violated her own science, shall we say, by just making the whole state turquoise. There were still some counties under her science that didn't meet the qualifications to be turquoise. But when you announce you're going to run for governor again, it's pretty hard to get people in those counties that are still locked down to vote for you.
Yeah, and that appeared to be a political decision, but it also appeared to be political when she said the schools were going to stay locked down. That appeared to be political because the unions were telling her that we don't want to go back to school. So they were able to keep the teachers out of the classroom for almost a full year. Those were political decisions, and she said that they're based on science, but the truth is the science never said that kids are more susceptible than anybody else, and yet they're being treated like they were. In the next section, we're talking about the judge in California overturning the assault weapons ban. We're going to talk about the G7 now. You probably don't know exactly what the G7 is, but it's just the seven largest economies. They've given approval for Biden to move ahead on his global minimum tax. That's not going to be positive for jobs. Treasury Secretary has weighed in on the green energy question. A lot of interesting things going on right now in New Mexico, so stay tuned for the next two segments of Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
We Welcome back to Inside New Mexico as I talk with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce. Steve, I was disappointed to find out that at least in Rio Rancho and probably many other cities around the state of New Mexico, that there will not be a 4th of July parade. The governor's orders say that when we hit 60% vaccination rate, that the state will wait 2 weeks after that before it reopens. So we would have to have hit 60% on June 15th, more or less. And people need time to plan a parade, to put together floats, all those kind of things. So once again, it's hard to do business in a state when you don't know what your future is going
to
be.
Yeah, it's that unpredictability is the most damaging thing to policymakers, to businesses, to families. You got to know what is coming up, what's around the corner to where you can make rational decisions on it. So again, we received a lot of criticism for going out of state to Amarillo to do our event, but things like this tell me we made exactly the right choice because we had 350 to 370 people show up. That would have exceeded the requirements here. So you can't move Rio Rancho's parade to Amarillo. But if they could, I'll bet they would, because people are just ready to resume life as normal. They're seeing people in Texas living life normally. They're seeing people in Florida living life normally, in Arizona. And people are not dropping dead from COVID there. So exactly why we are still under these restrictive requirements, people are shaking their head and say, how come it's okay for them to be free next door and not us?
Let's say you had your event in New Mexico and the crowd was bigger than it was supposed to be, or maybe somebody wasn't wearing a mask. Can you imagine the state police coming in and arresting Jim Jordan?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the national news, Jim was not going to take a chance on that. But when we said we're going over to Amarillo, he said, sure, I'll come. So, again, we made a choice that was very pragmatic, and everything that has gone on since then tell me that it was the right choice to make, that I would have preferred to spend the money here in New Mexico. We need the shot in the arm, that's for sure. But since New Mexico's governor doesn't want the business, doesn't deem it to be safe in her viewpoint, and again, we just mentioned in the first segment where science is not exactly involved in some of her decisions here. So if she deems it not productive, then she's not going to allow it. One of the things that I want people to listen to is one of the founders of BLM. He has left that organization and says that basically they've gotten much more radical than what the original intent of BLM was. So listen as one of the founders of BLM speaks up.
I was born in Minneapolis in 1985. We called the North Side home at that time, 18th and Queen. When I was 2 years old, my father was shot and killed. My mother wasn't able to take care of me, so I was raised by my grandparents. They told me that if I was going to change my life for the better, education was the answer. So I worked hard in school. I got into Hamline University and earned a college degree, first in my family. Then I went on to earn a master's in education from St. Mary's University of Minnesota. I am living proof that no matter your start in life, quality education is a pathway to success. I want the same success for our children in our communities. That's why in 2015, I was a founder of Black Lives Matter in St. Paul. I believed the organization stood for exactly what the name implies. Black lives do matter. However, after a year on the inside, I learned they had little concern for rebuilding black families, and they cared even less about improving the quality of education for students in Minneapolis. That was made clear when they publicly denounced charter schools alongside the teachers' union. I was an insider in Black Lives Matter, and I learned the ugly truth. The moratorium on charter schools does not support rebuilding the black family, but it does create barriers to a better education for black children. I resigned from Black Lives Matter after a year and a half, but I didn't quit working to improve black lives and access to a great education. Today, I serve as the president and executive director of Minnesota Parent Union. We're dedicated to helping parents move their children from failing schools to successful schools. It's hard work, and we're up against forces that don't want us to succeed. But success is possible. Just look at me and the hundreds of children and families we've helped to pursue a great education, break the chains of poverty, and lead a life of success.
Derek, one of the things that really caught my attention in the news this week was a federal judge in California, Roger Benitez, overturned a 32-year ban that California had placed on assault weapons. He called it a failed experiment, and he said the government is not free to impose restrictions on these constitutional constraints. That is, the Constitution is stronger than any law. Laws have to be based on the Constitution. That's the rule book, that you can make laws that you want, but they've got to comply with the Constitution. So that Second Amendment that says we have the right to bear arms was being violated by this ban in California, so that judge simply overturned it. That then leads to the assumption by many of the legal analysts that a lot of the other bans are simply going to go away because of this decision by a federal judge.
Yeah, it sets a precedent.
It sets a precedent. And so the other states will just have to drop their bans. They can't enforce them. And if they do, then they become liable for enforcing a law that has been declared unconstitutional. So a huge decision coming out of California. You know, there was another decision that came out of Lubbock, Texas, a couple of weeks ago or maybe a couple of months ago. Lubbock passed a abortion-free zone for all of Lubbock, saying that we're going to be a sanctuary city for the unborn. Then Planned Parenthood sued them, and a judge just summarily threw that case out last week and said that you have no standing. You're not credible here in this lawsuit, and so he pitched that out. One of the organizers of that sanctuary city push in Lubbock said that this is a life wins. He said, life wins, in a big exclamation. And so we just have a lot of things that are causing conservatives right now to be down. They're just fearful. They see what's coming out of Washington. But we have to look at those positive things that are going on around us, too. Too often we concentrate just on the negative. There are a lot of things that are happening that a lot of Americans and a lot of New Mexicans agree with. Stay tuned. In the next segment, we're talking about that G7 that we mentioned earlier, and also Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, calling for new measures on green investments.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico as I chat with our chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, the G7 has decided that all corporations, no matter what, are going to pay a 15% tax in their nations. Is that correct?
That's what they're trying to decide. A deal that was just recently reached by the Biden administration in the G7, that's the seven largest economies in the world, it lays the foundation for that exact thing to take place. In the past few years, countries have been saying, okay, corporations will move back and forth around based on tax policy. Tax policy is one of the most important differentiations between countries. And so this is that move to standardize around the world to where companies have to pay the maximum taxes that they can be levied with, and that 15% is just a starting point. So what they're trying to do is keep countries from competing and making things more profitable, therefore workers get more. As the government takes more, there's less to pay out to the workers, and so what they're really doing is taking money from the pockets of the working class in the entire world. So that G7 then is going to transition over into the G20 meeting later in the year. And if the G7 approves that, which it appears to be on the track to do, then the G20 now, then 20 more of the largest economies in the world are going to be put in a position to have to affirm this. Now, this radical socialist movement going on here in the country is actually a radical socialist movement that is going on in the entire world. It is not good for workers. Strong central governments are not good for workers. That's the reason that our founding fathers set up a federal system, that is, with a weak federal government, but then strong local governments. That's the way they intended it. It's the way it's supposed to be. It's the way that people have the most power. We sitting out here in New Mexico can do very little about what goes on in Washington, but we can do much more about what goes on in Santa Fe and even more in our local counties. And so that was the view of our founding fathers. And as we look at these big changes going on internationally, know that the oligarchy, that is the selected few players in this country, are joining with the selected few players in the entire world and saying, here's a way that we can take one more bit of control and we can hold people in subjection just a little bit longer. We'll see how it plays out, but a very interesting change that's taking place right now.
There's something else about that that says even if you sell your product in a country where you have no physical presence, you would have to pay tax there. So that would be like, let's say there's a station in Farmington that carries this show. When you buy ads from them, they pay taxes in Farmington. Well, that would say, well, if you sell ads in Aztec, you're going to have to pay the city of Aztec as well, and Durango and every other place that you might sell ads. And so all that does is take money away from the business to where they don't have the money to hire new employees or invest in new equipment. That's on a smaller scale, but it sounds like this is being done on a large scale. Yeah. But I would say, Steve, too, that our next Republican candidate for president could actually run on eliminating that.
And that would be exactly correct, that when people get stuck with these taxes, that's when people get the maddest, when they see that their paycheck is being eroded. And one of the biggest erosions occurring right now to paychecks is a hidden tax. It's called inflation. But the truth is, it's a tax that Joe Biden is levying on every American. But it hurts the working poor more than any other group. It hurts people who are straining to make payments at the end of the month to pay their bills because their buying power is reduced because we're printing so much money in Washington. And so that inflation is going to be a huge factor as we move forward in the election 2 years from now. It'll be interesting to see how that turns out. But right now, inflation is running wild. In 1 month, 3.6% increase in the prices. That's devastating. Where our target is 2% for a year. We had 3.6% in 1 month, almost double the rate that we hope to get for the full year. The policies are having a tremendous effect on the lives of people. You know, just as we're talking about this, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, I know her personally. When I was in Congress, she was actually the head of the Federal Reserve, and I went to her office one day. She had a little lunch there for the two of us, and I talked about policies that I felt like were hurting New Mexico. And so she and I know each other personally, but she just recently signed on and said that another worldwide push, there's going to be more evaluation on if companies are spending enough for green energy or not. Her pointed comment was that there's not enough money in government to pay for these infrastructures, therefore we'll be looking for private money. That means they're coming to get your money to invest in these green things that sometimes have no value at all. I'm just like everyone else. I would love if we could get free energy, free wind, free solar. But we saw what happened in Texas. They've only converted like 25% of their grid over to wind. And when the wind quit blowing, when the windmills were shut down because of the ice on the windmills, we had people dying because there was no power. We live right next door to Texas, and a lot of stories still coming out about the suffering that people experienced during that very cold spell. So it would be nice if there's free power. It would be nice if it's free every day. But the truth is that we're a long way away from these renewables being able to power our energy industry, to power our cars, to power manufacturing. That's when jobs are good, when you have a manufacturing base. So, again, the policies of the left are being very destructive to the people who work for a living. That's who we as Republicans are speaking for all the time.
Texas passed an abortion bill last month. It's being called the Heartbeat Bill. We get the story from WFAA-TV in Dallas.
It's called the Heartbeat Bill, which was passed by the Senate in the spring, and it was approved by the House on Thursday.
There's no bill like this been passed anywhere in the country.
Joe Poyman is pro-life and the executive director for Texas Alliance.
Individuals can sue an abortion doctor and can sue anyone who helps to have an abortion, aid and abets the crime of abortion.
Poyman says the point of the Heartbeat Bill is to protect the unborn child when a heartbeat is detected as early as 6 weeks.
That means that the father of the unborn child, the mother of the unborn child, the grandparents of the unborn child, actually anybody in the state of Texas could sue.
Supporters are calling the Heartbeat Bill the most pro-life bill since Roe versus Wade.
It's really a horribly written bill.
Michelle Beckley is a Democratic member of the Texas House of Representatives.
it's going to open the door for a bunch of frivolous lawsuits, because mm-hmm. anybody who has any association with somebody they may have had an abortion can now file a lawsuit.
Republican State Senator Shelby Slauson is the lead sponsor of the bill, who shared her personal story, saying that her mother was given a, quote, dim prognosis of an abnormally developing baby. And that baby, Slauson says, is her. And Republicans making it clear in bold that part of the bill is clarified for rape victims.
Someone who commits the crime of rape against an innocent woman cannot bring a lawsuit under this bill.
David Delafuente is a Democratic analyst.
Is just an attempt to feed red meat to their very conservative base at a moment when Texas is dealing with some really serious issues.
In Dallas, I'm Molly Basu.
That story from WFAA Channel 8 TV in Dallas. If you found our program interesting today and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, there's lots of ways you can do that. First, check out the website at www.gopnm.org. You'll find the latest news, upcoming events, information about elected officials, voter resources, and all kinds of important and useful information about the Republican Party and its mission. You can also listen to previous editions of Inside New Mexico. The party has a Facebook page, and you're welcome to check out the Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. If you would like to talk to somebody, call Republican Party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.